just pray from the depths of your heart. Bless his name. So we bow as we enter the throne room, and we cast ourselves down at your feet. For you are holy, thou art holy, there is none like you. For in your presence, that is where we must be. Tonight we cast ourselves down at your feet, Lord. And we say you are holy, thou art holy, there is none like you. For in your presence, that is where we must be. It's in your presence, that is where I must be. It's in your presence, that is where we must be. In your presence, that is where we must be. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the gift of your presence. We thank you for Young and Yielded. This is the 6th edition. Thank you because you are changing lives. You are transforming destinies. Lord, I thank you because you are able. We give you praise. It's another opportunity. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be built, to be established, to be grounded in truth, to be positioned for victory and glory. Lord, we pray that you cause our hearts to be receptive. Hallelujah. So open your eyes. Would you open your ears? And then you'll understand that the Lord is here. Open your eyes. Open your ears, then you'll understand that the Lord is here, that His presence is here, His glory is here, that salvation is here. Healing is here. Restoration is here. Revelation is here. Lord, your glory is here. Your power is here. Your wisdom is here. So how can you walk when you don't know the way of the wind? How can you run when you don't know the way of the Spirit? How can you fly like the eagle when you don't know the wind? But tonight, He's changing everything.
in obedience to Christ. Swallow your pride tonight. Come to the school of the Spirit. For don't you know that in His hands is the keys to eternal life? It's a little here and a little there, and then your day will dawn. He's at work in you, changing everything.
Hallelujah. Lord, do something new in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Please walk around and hug everyone you can find around you. Tell them it's good to see you. Come on, walk around, hug everybody you can find. Make sure you are smiling. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to unite with friends and family. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. Once again, we welcome everyone. It's always a privilege. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isaiah 40. Above ministry, I love Him more than anointing. I love Him more than miracles. I love Him from the depths of my heart, and nothing will take His place. It's my sincere prayer that God will put a fire in our hearts, that we will love Him with our lives. King of my life, You are my all, and I live for You alone. You're the King of my life. You have my all, and I lay my life for You. King of my life, You are my all. My will is
yours. My mind is yours. You're the king of my life. You're the king of my life.
Lord, I thank you for the privilege. It's always a privilege to bring your word before your people. And I pray in the name of Jesus that I will honor you tonight. In the name of Jesus. For it's my joy to bring you glory. It's my life's goal to see you lifted. Tonight, let your people know Jesus is alive. Put a fire in our hearts.
For I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. I won't go back. How can I go back to the way it used to be now that your presence has come to change me? Lord, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. I know your presence came and changed me. Something happened in my life, and I know his presence came and changed me. I know your presence is here to change us. We know your presence will change us. We trust your presence to change us. We believe your presence will change us. We trust your presence to change us. Then we will sing more of you, more of you, more of you. Jesus, more of you, more of you, more of you,
more of you.
Jesus, more of you,
Jesus, more of you.
One more time, more of you. Every time we have the opportunity to gather before the Lord, I always pray for two things to happen. Hallelujah. And I like us to always see these meetings first as a renewal meeting. You know what a renewal meeting is? A renewal meeting is a meeting that grants people an opportunity to re-examine themselves. The Bible says that we should re-examine ourselves to see if we are still in the faith. So it gives us an opportunity to rededicate ourselves, realign ourselves, and renew our commitments. Hallelujah. And then we trust His word again to guide us further to the path of glory. And this is what I trust that the Lord will do. These three sessions, I trust that God will provoke us to love Him more. Hallelujah. So tonight, basically, it will just be a call to worship, really. That's what I'm here to do tonight. Just to bring us to that point where we re-examine ourselves.
And then we'll pick up with other teachings tomorrow. And we'll round up in the evening tomorrow. Have the opportunity to minister to the needs of God's people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 40. Verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to those who have no might he increaseth strength. I'd like us to read verse 30 together. One, two, read. Shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. Look up, please. He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. This is not backsliding. Are you listening to me? This is not backsliding. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, begins from verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It says, for the flesh lusted after the Spirit, and the Spirit after the flesh, and both are consistently under contention. And so, when you take the value system of God, your love and your passion for God, hallelujah, there is an array of obstacles that will attempt to contend with you. Hallelujah. And it gets to a point where you can gas out. Not necessarily because you do not love the Lord. Hallelujah. At such times, the Bible gives us key to sustaining our tempo in the Spirit. It said, even the youth. I hope you understand that the Bible says the glory of the youth is their strength. And so it says, although they are strong, a time can come in your life when you need help that is beyond yourself. Hallelujah. And so you love God. You're walking in righteousness, walking in truth. But then you get to a point where you just need more fire. There's a beautiful song. It says, don't let my love grow cold. I'm crying out. Will you light the fire again? Powerful song. It means it can grow cold. Not necessarily because you do not love God. But that tempo, that fervency. Hallelujah. And we live in a society that is consistently choking everything that is God. The media, the educational system, our social world, our jobs, schools, everywhere. And so it gets to a point in your life where you begin to ask God, are you still there? Because my convictions are dwindling in light of the things that I'm seeing. Hallelujah. That you begin with a degree of fervency, greater ability to say no to anything that is unrighteousness. Greater ability to stand for the things of the Spirit. But eventually, because you have to stand alone in the midst of the crowd, because you have to maintain the value system of the kingdom in the midst of an ever-changing society, sometimes your psychology can come in. You can become emotional about it. You can become depressed about your position for Christ. At such times, God will introduce a renewal meeting to reaffirm to you that His principles are sure, and that if you sustain in that tempo, there will be a reward. He said, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them. He said that your profiting will appear unto all. Say amen. So the Bible begins to give us an understanding. It says, even the youth shall faint. The young men shall utterly fall. And then verse 31 says, but they. That means not everybody will be interested. He said, when you get to a point where you faint, when you get to a point where you've gassed out, you are out of strength, you need help, it gives you the spiritual principle. He said, but they that will decide to wait upon the Lord. He said, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Said they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and will not faint. Hallelujah. So I want to challenge us tonight very briefly, and then we'll pray. and trust that He will be exalted in our hearts again.
Lord, I will bow to You, to no other God but You, Lord. Lord, I will worship You. Nothing hands have made but You, Lord.
Listen to this part again.
Lord, I will worship You. Nothing hands have made.
Hold on. The hands can make many things, so I hope you know that. The hands can make success. The hands can make victory. But He says, Lord,
I will worship You, and nothing hands have made but You, Lord.
I'll just share one scripture with you, and then we'll pray. John 21. Thank You, Jesus.
Lord, I give You my life. I give You my all. Truly I live.
What else will I live for?
Alone.
Every breath that I take. Every moment I'm away.
Have Your way.
Hallelujah. This was a conversation between Simon Peter and Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, while Jesus was upon the earth, He did many wonderful things. Hallelujah. And the Roman government were the then world superpower. And when Jesus came, He began to contend against status quo. And through His wisdom, His miraculous acts, and so on and so forth, He began to convince people, and they began to follow Him because He looked like the Messiah that they were waiting for. Hallelujah. And He found certain people, Peter being one of them. He said, come, follow Me. And I always say this, I was amazed at the speed with which Peter left his fishing to follow Jesus Christ. I knew he didn't think about it. He did not understand the implications of following Jesus Christ. I needed to understand that Jesus was a celebrity. Are you listening to me? And the Bible tells us that he who walks with the wise will be wise. So when Jesus called Peter, who had been struggling to become a celebrity in his fishing, Peter said, this is an easy route. Thank You for this suffering. He didn't think about it. Didn't understand the gravity. And he came and began to walk with Jesus Christ. Every time they moved around the city of Galilee or everywhere they went, the celebrity and his entourage. Are you listening to me? They had the opportunity to partake of certain levels of honor and grace as a result of the presence of Jesus. To the extent that they even stopped Jesus' mother from seeing Him. They were that mighty. They threatened the Roman government. Hallelujah. Did mighty things. The Bible makes us to understand that Peter was part of Jesus' secret cabinet. In the Mount of Transfiguration, he took three of them. And the remaining disciples were struggling with an epileptic patient. What an embarrassing thing. Because they had made mouth and done everything. Now Jesus was away, and they said, well, if we can't find Jesus, you are closest to Him. So can you help us? Say, that's an easy situation. Let's see what we can do. And they tried and did their best, and nothing happened. Hallelujah. And then Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And immediately He rescued them from further embarrassment. Was invincible. Was the kind of man that our society will celebrate. Publicity without posters, without the media. When He went to the riverside, a crowd came. He was in a room. The Bible says a crowd came and filled the room. What kind of celebrity? I mean, call it success. Hallelujah. Had everything. Caesar was threatening them. He said, please go and remove coin from the mouth of the fish and give this guard, tell him to get out of here. Commanded the authorities of his day. Listen, and the people followed him. But do you realize they never followed him because they loved him? Hallelujah. They followed him because they were tired of all this fishing and all these things. And they said, this is a faster route to success. Jesus, I'm with you. Hallelujah. And Jesus waited until he troubled the entire Israel. Then he said, gentlemen, I need to talk to you at this point. And they said, we've always expected good news. We like you because around you there's no sorrow, no pain, only prosperity and increase. Are you following me now? And Jesus said, I'm leaving. And I have prayed for you that you won't leave this earth. John 17, you're going to remain here. The Roman government is here. I will tell you a few things that you'll be expecting in my absence. I could imagine Peter and the rest looking and saying, are you joking? What kind of horrible news is this from the person we consider to be the hero? So you are leaving us with the Roman government. You've looked for trouble. You refuse to pay tax until they stopped you. You have made us look like celebrities and now you want to leave us. You are not going anywhere. Peter said, you are not going anywhere. Do you know a time came, James and John, they were nursing it in their hearts, that by the time Jesus gets and conquers Caesar, one who sits by the left, those guys had beauty. They wanted to be successful. The type of our generation. Hallelujah. And now Jesus said, well, Peter, there's a cup I need. Peter said, I will drink it. What was the cup? Peter didn't wait to find out. He just said, yes, I will drink it. Jesus said, truly, that cup, you must drink it. The Bible does not tell us the size of the cup, but one assurance that you must drink of that cup. Hallelujah. Do you realize Judas was not a bad person? You see, Judas has suffered in many churches, and Judas was not a bad person. Judas was just crafty because he never expected this Jesus to give himself to those people. So he said, if this guy is this invisible, why can I not use him and make some money for myself? So the plan of Judas was that the people will come to capture Jesus. Jesus will deal with them. He has his shekels. What is wrong with that? So he was surprised when it went out of hand. When Jesus gave himself. Judas said, no, this was not the plan. Jesus, you are the savior. Let me remind you if you have forgotten. And Jesus gave himself. When he gave himself, that's why Judas went and hung himself. Because he could not imagine himself betraying Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Bible makes us understand that the moment Jesus gave himself, the disciples ran away. Remember, Peter said, I will go with you anywhere. Jesus was washing the feet. He said, you will wash my feet. Later on, he said, oh, yeah, bath me. You know, these guys did not understand the gravity of what follow me meant. Hallelujah. And so, Peter tried. At least he followed Jesus until he called a little girl woman. And that threat was too much. The little girl looked at him and said, are you not like a woman? Don't trouble me. And he got out of that place and he ran away. And the Bible makes us understand that when Jesus was crucified, the hopes of the disciples had been dashed. Do you know that's why they ran away and they went and hid? They knew they had to hide. It was a terrible scenario because the Roman government could catch them and do all kinds of things with them and they had to run and hide. Hallelujah. And just as he spoke, the Bible says on the third day, he rose again. Meanwhile, Peter had said, I go a fishing. In other words, let's just accept the fact that Jesus cheated us. Let's stop this situation from being 2-0. Let's go and continue our fishing. And the disciples said, we go with you. And while they were fishing, they did not catch any fish. Suddenly someone appears. John 21. He said, little children,
have you caught any fish? And they said, no. He said, cast your nets to the right side. And when they casted their nets to the right side, the Bible says that they caught so much fish. And Peter took his clothes and put on and ran and came. And when he saw Jesus Christ, say, yes, I knew it. I knew this was not over. And Jesus was just looking at him all the while. Peter said, Jesus, how was that death and the rest? Jesus was just looking at him. He said, you know, I forgot to tell you before you died, I really love you. Jesus was just looking at him. I'm just dramatizing John 21. He said, Jesus, you are the main man. Jesus was just looking at him. And then he asked him a question. That's our question tonight. John 21. Because they said everything they would do for Jesus and with Jesus before he died. And when he died, they ran away. In fact, the only people who could stand were the women. They didn't make too much mouth, but they were the ones who stood. Peter and the rest who said, Lila, we are here with you, they could not stand. John 21 verse 15. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, he said what? Lovest thou me? I know you claim you love me, but I need you to quantify this love. Lovest thou me more than this? And Peter was surprised. Jesus, why will you be asking me this question? He said, lovest thou me more than this? And he said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. And Jesus said unto him again, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. 17. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And the Bible says what? Peter was grieved because he told him the third time. Look at me, please. So many believers come to Jesus Christ believing and expecting that he will bless them, he will prosper them, he will increase them. Now, I need to let you know that God is not against your success. Say after me, God is not against my success. God wants me to be prosperous. God wants me to be healthy. God wants me to be lifted. He wants me to be blessed. But the trouble is this. When they began to follow Jesus Christ, they did not follow him as an end. They followed him as a means to an end. In other words, from their perception, they found out that Jesus was a very reliable ladder that they could use to get to the place where their lust and their appetites wanted them to get to. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Where their lust and their appetites will take them to. And the Bible tells us, listen, please listen. The Bible tells us that Jesus looks at Peter when he got born again. Because he did not find, or when he, I said born again, many of you were just, when he rose up from the dead. Hallelujah. Let's not complicate issues this night. When he rose up from the dead. And he told Peter, he said, lovest thou me more than this? In other words, I know you want me to bless you, but what if I do not bless you? I want to ask us some practical questions tonight, because I always say this, there is a deceit that is encrafted in the body of Christ. And if we do not kick this out, in the next 5 to 10 years, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be in trouble. Are you listening to me? The Bible says, if your strength fails you in the day of battle, it said your strength is small. And there are so many believers who give their lives to Christ, and we preachers are afraid to open them up to the full span of the scope of what it means to be born again and to walk with the Lord. We are afraid of losing members. We are afraid of having a bad name. We are afraid of not being part of status quo. Hallelujah. And so now we tell this person, you are going to get born again, and when you come to Jesus Christ, all your trouble, all your sorrow will be over. Hallelujah. And now the person gets born again. And after 1 year, is one trouble upon another. What happens? He begins to unconsciously seek for alternatives. Are you listening to me? And man was designed to find solution. Are you listening to me? That's why people will keep going to herbalists until the church rises up. They won't stop by preaching messages. They will stop when the sons of God manifest truly. Lots of people come to points where we love God. We kneel down, we cry, we roll on the floor. Lord, I love you so much with all my heart. I love you so much with everything. Tonight I'm going to give us certain parameters. You see, when you say you love God, it's too vague. Tonight I trust that God will establish some parameters that we will use to gauge and really know whether or not this that we call the love for God in us is genuine. Hallelujah. There's nothing that irritates me like seeing a young person who does not value and honor and respect God. I'm not talking of born again. Whether or not you are born again. Now, when I talk about passion for God, I don't mean these hypocritical things people do around. Passion for God is not just standing up and saying, oh Lord, and then you are shedding tears. That's not necessarily passion. Because a kiss that is a sign of love and intimacy was used as a sign of betrayal. And so, you do not really judge passion for God just from the physical outlook. That a person kneels down in church and lifts his hands and rolls on the floor is not necessarily a sign that he's passionate about God. Hallelujah. I've seen people who are so unemotional about God, but I know they can die for him. When they are worshiping God, they just stand. And you really think they are not serious believers. Try to bribe them, they will refuse. They will say, I've taken my stand, I love God. You say, you are too casual about it, but they really mean it. And you see another person, we are going all the way. And later the person starts, we are going all the way. So I've seen that kind of deceit. And so tonight, I don't want you to just look as I'm talking, you just say, yes, Lord. That's not necessarily a sign that you are passionate. I'm going to give us certain parameters that the Lord will help us to gauge our sincere passion for God tonight. Hallelujah. When you begin to walk with the Lord and you come to the point where you love Him, the first thing that happens to you, I always say this, is that God will begin to propose to you that you open the door of your heart. Hallelujah. And opening the door of your heart is not for blessing. Let me tell you the truth. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. God's priority in your life is not to bless you. God's priority in your life is to change you. And then He will bless you. He wants to bless you, but His priority is not to bless you. His priority is to change you, and then He will bless you. Hallelujah. Do you realize no man can truly lay down his life for Jesus Christ? The only thing he can do is to permit God to take it. It took me a long time to discover this, but now I know. No man born of a woman can truly give him. The Bible says no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. I used to just trivialize that statement, but as you journey with the Holy Spirit, you will understand the gravity of what it means to come to a point where your life says Jesus is Lord. It says it is impossible except by the agency of the Spirit. The sacrifices and the constraints that bring you to a point where everyone sees your life and knows that Jesus is the master and the owner is almost unbearable except the Spirit of God leads you. Hallelujah. Because I found out that there is a relationship between death and glory. Jesus speaking said, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Then he now says, except a corn of wheat, next verse, falls to the ground and dies. He begins to show us the relationship between, okay, thank you, between death and glory. And now, this is a message that is not appreciated in the church, because we want to come as we are, keep what we have, and add to what God will give us. This is the average message that goes on in church. Come as you are, keep what you have, trust God to give you more, and then chew it all up in your heart. God finding expression somewhere within the line. Unfortunately, that's not how God works. When he comes into your heart, I'm sorry to use a word that may threaten you, the first thing is that he will destroy that Babel. Are you listening to me? That city that was built without his supervision, he will destroy Babel, and then he will now begin to build Zion according to his pattern and terms. Hallelujah. So you want to be a celebrity. You want to be great. You have your ambition. You have everything that you want to do. And when you come into the Lord, you do not come into the things of God as a celebrity. Look at me. This is the reason why many people who are successful without Christ hardly sustain their Christianity after some time. You know why? Because they come to God believing that God is one of their fans. And so they want to still sustain the ecstasy and the glory. And God says, when you come, you queue up and follow the line like every other person. And if it will require you momentarily laying down certain things, it may be honor, I will build you and bring you back even better. Listen, he tells us that I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, Jeremiah 29:11. He said they are thoughts of good and not of evil. That means before he begins his dealing, he tells you that the end of this is peace. Trust me. So that even if you do not understand the scope of what is happening to you, trust the fact that I am able to bring you into a future and an expected end. This is what the Bible calls faith. Faith is not about claiming. Faith is the capacity to trust a man with your life just based on his integrity, knowing that you will not fail in the end. So he calls a man called Abraham. Says, Abraham. Abraham says, yes, Lord. I have 215 workers so far. I've tried. I'm a successful man. And God says, don't give me all those stories. Come out of your father's house. Come out of your glory. Come out of everything and go to a mount that I will show you. And Abraham says, what is all this? These are not familiar parts. I've taken a long time to build this small city you are seeing. I single-handedly raised 213 people, and look at God with the prophecy in his heart that this is a man I want to make the father of nations. And he's rejoicing over 213 people that he has raised. If only he will trust me and let me walk with him and build him with time, I will make a wonder out of his life. The media keeps deceiving us. And I know that this has happened for a long time in church. That every time you want to see people who are Christians, you just turn and see a broke failure with his rickety life and everything. He says, come and join me, a nice cross. And you say, I'm not joining you. This thing you are marketing to me is not profitable. Are you listening to me? He's at home. So the world has used this as a message to say, look at what I'm offering you. I'm offering you a record label. I'm offering you the opportunity to be on every billboard. I'm offering you the opportunity to rise beyond your challenge. You grew up eating only 1 meal a day. I'm offering you an opportunity to change your life. Don't tell me you don't like this. And then the preachers present another Jesus Christ. I'm offering you suffering all your life. There's no hope of being blessed. I'm offering you disappointment all the way. But at the end, somehow, if you endure, you will get blessing. And the people look and say, wisdom is profitable to direct. And they choose whatever it is that they want to choose. Now there is a balance. That gospel was not well presented. However, many men of God have begun to adopt. Are you listening to me? To adopt those skills. So they come and say, all right, Channel O, MTV, stand. And so ministry, stand. And they said, this is what we'll do. Come to our church, you are going to get rice. Nobody accuses you. We understand your emotional challenges. And so we will leave you just as you are. Be gay, no problem. Nobody talks to you. Don't worry. By and by, we live in a complex society. Are you listening to me? And the people say, we like this church. Well, nobody come. Nobody tells us anything. You can do anything and go. Just say, look, God is merciful. What is the cross for after all? You see what is happening in our churches. And we're getting very excited. So people come to church and begin to say, what kind of church is this? Every church has AC. Which nonsense is this? I won't come here again. And when you come and you are the first time and you are waiting for the restaurant, they say, this way. That's the restaurant. And you say, this church, I will go to the other one. At least we have donuts and this. You see? This kind of Christianity is not only bad, it's dangerous. It's dangerous because the end is already predicted. Doom. Doom and doom again. Are you listening to me? And so, we must present Jesus Christ, who will train and build a man according to his terms. And then eventually you will walk in the blessings that come with that terms. Now, let me say something. Thank God this is Lagos. There are so many people. I was at the airport and I saw one car pass with a billboard, small billboard on it. I said, has it gotten to this level? The guy was just driving. I don't know what he was advertising. I think a product on his car. People want to be successful. There's no denying that fact. Are you listening to me? People want to be empowered. We are young people. Everybody wants to settle down, get blessed, be productive, help your parents. And in subsequent sessions, we are going to touch on that. Are you listening to me? I am convinced that any Christianity that stops at meeting the spiritual needs of people alone without touching the economic and sociological needs of the people is an incomplete and irresponsible Christianity. So God wants you to be blessed. However, I must admit to you that this is not God's priority. You do not come to God saying, Lord, I tried everything, it did not work. Now I'm coming to you. I want to do my beauty pageant and everything. And you find out God is not even talking to you about what you want. God says, just come, open up your heart and allow me to begin to work. Listen, this is not as easy as I'm saying it. Because it requires a lot of things. The Bible says Moses was supposed to be the next Pharaoh in Egypt. But when he went to the wilderness, it took how many years? 40 solid years of proving and training and building until he met the terms of God and God gave him authority. I said, you go and challenge Pharaoh. I bring us a message tonight that God can give you more than anything you have dreamt of. Let your mind grow wild. I don't care what it is. Are you listening to me? Every successful person in the Bible was given that success if it was through God's principles. Whose success lasted? It came from God. But the psalmist will say, cast me not away from your presence, because he understood the days when he was in the wilderness and how that God built him and prepared him. He never had an idea that he was going to be such a great king. You see, the truth is, when God begins to build you, sometimes God will shield your progress from you so that pride will not stop the lesson. You are making tremendous progress, but God will seal you from seeing how far you have gone. You are singing, and the truth is, I know there are lots of music chants and all of these people here, so let me just use as an example. If a record label hears you, they can just take you to UK or Canada or somewhere immediately and you will sell. But then you wonder why, although you are so good, God will never give an opportunity. Listen, certain barriers in life were not there by Satan. It was the act of God's love to sustain you until you are prepared. And then he sends you. The Bible says John remained in the wilderness until his season of appearing. Same thing with different churches. Right now we have all kinds of pastoral model courses that they teach people as though they are businessmen. You just come and sit down and you give yourself all kinds of ridiculous and unreasonable targets. Oh, I want 10,000 members in 3 months. I want this and that. And you see people making all kinds of hypocrisy and spiritual efforts. All kinds of things. These things are dangerous. Because any honor that does not come from God will not be sustained. It's a mirage. Are you learning something, please? We are young people and we look up to different people. And this is very serious, even in a place like Lagos. Because you have the opportunity to have celebrities, whether in the church and in the secular world, coming. In the media, in education. So you sit down and watch a figure. And the challenge with all these people is most times they do not tell you the process. They just present everything as being lovely. And you sit down there and say, this is what I want to become. No matter what it will cost me, I will get there. But you do not understand the gravity. And say, Lord, I love you. When are we going to arrive? Tell me 2 weeks. Oh Lord, and the Lord will say, I wish so. The problem is that the load that was inside you before you came did not take 2 weeks to get there. And so it will take a gradual walking. Please, this is what I need you to get, and we'll pray tonight. You come as you are, but you do not stay as you are. You must subject yourself willingly. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was talking to people who were already born again, the seven churches. I stand and knock. Open up your heart and I will come in and I will begin to change your life. When I change your life, I will bless you. He said, I called Abraham and I blessed him. I have found my servant David, and with my holy oil have I anointed him. You will never taste true success until you drink of that cup that will open you up to the dealings of God and say, Lord, I'm not sure of my tendencies. The only thing I remember is that I was an arrogant person before I got serious with God. I liked women uncontrollably before I got born again. I had these tendencies and I've come to you. And Lord, although I know I'm a new creation, I do not trust myself outside you. Therefore, I open myself and I tell you to probe me. Because until you approve me, I know that I'm a disaster going to happen. This is the kind of posture that every one of us must have. God will never give you success you cannot manage. He cannot give you a level of lifting. Listen, thank God for our business books. I read them. Thank you for our motivational books. I read them. But let me tell you something. Jesus stayed for 30 years until he was proven and fashioned. And even before he started his assignment, God said, according to this training, this is my beloved son. He had not started anything. He said, hear ye him. I am already pleased with him.
All about you, all about you, all about you, Jesus.
Search my heart. The psalmist said, Lord, search my heart and try my thoughts. He said, and see if there's any evil way in me. Let me tell you something. The greatest expression of pride is to feel adequate in yourself. The Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, blessed are those who maintain this posture of inadequacy, knowing that, Lord, if you do not help me, I am vulnerable. I've never held 1 million. I've never held 1 billion. I don't know what it means for a crowd of 6 billion people to watch me. I don't know what it means for people to run around themselves touching my clothes. Lord, help me. Prepare me. I like that song that says, Lord, prepare me. I know that there are all kinds of versions. This version is a very valid version. Let's sing it. Pure and holy,
tried and true, we thanksgiving, I'll be a leader, sanctuary.
When you love God, you come to a point where you are open and you let him search your heart. You let him probe you. His value system begins to ascend in your life until he gets to a point where he becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I told God, I said, Lord, a day to exalt anything above you, take it away, and if need be, take my life. And I mean it. I say these things all the time. Lord, if you will ever take me to any level in life where it will not make sense to honor you directly, let me never get there. I started saying this thing years ago. And every time I have the opportunity, it's my pleasure to renew it. And I will say this 30 years from now. I have lost the ability to allow anything around me affect you. This is how much I love you. Whatever challenge, if need be, if I need to go through it, no problem. If it is on account of His Majesty. Can you get to that point in your life where you say, Lord, if you bless me, I love you. If the blessing does not come, I love you. If I get healed, I know you will heal me. I love you. But let me tell you, even if I never get healed, I love you. If you can get to this point, listen to me, which is very difficult. It's easy to say it in church, but this word will be tried until it is proven. Many people graduate from universities with a lot of optimism. They are happy. Just finished Unilag, you were so happy. You were the best student. Now you stepped out and after 5 years, there's no job. And you are saying, Lord, you are joking. You are playing with me. I'm giving you 3 prophetic months. If you don't bring this, I assure you I'm not coming to church. I don't love you again. And I will let the world know you are not real. And God says, you see this. Do you know how honorable you are in the realm of the spirit when you stand in the midst of challenges and everything and say, Lord, this is too small. Even if 10 of these came, I still love you. The boys told Nebuchadnezzar, they said, oh king, when it comes to the matter of our allegiance, we are not cheerful. He said, we know our God will deliver us because our fathers have told us. He said, but even if certain women received their dead back to life, others died without receiving the promise, the Bible joined all and called it faith. The first thing faith did in the Bible is to give men good reports. He said, for by this faith, certain elders obtained a good report. The first miracle of faith was not a car. It was a good report. What is a good report? Unwavering, unshaking, consistent stability. I love him with my life. Listen, this is my message for you tonight. Because the truth is, many of us here love God, but we love other things more than him. The problem is, whatever occupies the highest position in your life is what you are worshiping, whether you accept it or not. I love him with my life. Ministry or no ministry, I love him with my life. If someone comes to meet me right now and says, President Obama wants to see you, I'll laugh. I'll say, wow, I didn't know you will answer me this way. But immediately I finish singing that, I'll say, I wouldn't trade you for White House or black. I wouldn't trade you. A sister loves God until one rickety, visionless brother just stumbles his way into her life. He says, sister, I can make this journey slow, faster for you. And she says, this is what I've been praying. Lord, I thank you. And you cannot study again. The Holy Spirit wants you to study and pray. The guy just flashes you and says, hey, he's putting butterflies in my stomach. Get it out. Get it out quickly. Get it out before God takes it out by himself. Get it out. Because there will be a coming out. If you are serious, take it out. You must get to that point where you love him more than ever. This is my simple message tonight. So tonight there will be a shaking. Because some of us, Jesus Christ is number 48 on our list. He was 37 in January. Right now he has gotten 48. He said, Lord, I trusted you, but right now, remain here. Let's see how it will get by June. Whether you will be number 90 or tonight. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. Rise above the position I put you. Oh Lord, be lifted high. For you. I'm addicted to Jesus Christ. I'm addicted to his life. It controls my mind, my lingua franca. It controls my way of doing things. I joke the word. I play the word. I sleep the word. I make mistakes out of the word. Listen, you must get to the point where your life gives people a message that Jesus is Lord. Don't be passive about it. Say it's just between me and God. It must be known. Let your light so shine before men. Let men know what that light has done to you. Evangelism is not just talking in and carrying Gideon's International. Coming to say, sister, your life must change. I spoke to you the last time. That's not necessarily it. It is becoming an ambassador. Everything around your life. Ambassador told me something very interesting that happened. He told me, he said, I think in the presidency, they called some people, you know, some both secular and musicians in the church to come and receive an award or something. And while they sat there, they started bringing bags of money that they cannot account for. Hallelujah. And he told me, he said, rooftop MCs began to ask and said, what is this for? Which work did we do that they are bringing this heavy money? And some of the secular people say, please don't be stupid. Are you not in Nigeria? You won't chop. Leave us to chop. Keep quiet. You know, that's what people say. If you don't chop, leave us to chop. But don't spoil our market. And the Bible says, Andy told me that they left the money there and walked away. How many of you can watch 10 million naira? 10 million naira. Think of where you are now. 10 million naira. Don't answer too fast. To compromise. Think of how you can help your parents. Because that's what we always use to justify it. I want to help my parents. Think of the things you can do. How it will be your own alone. Nobody will know. How you can change your life. And how much you will compromise the things of God. I choose his way, and I mean it from the depth of my heart. I'm still imagining how I will look at God and look at other things and say, Lord, please wait. I don't know how to tell him no again. I have reset my life to say yes consistently, whether I'm sleeping or I'm awake. The Bible says Jesus was driven by the Spirit. The Spirit didn't need to ask him, let's go. He was so yielded. We call this young and what? Yielded. Not just young and prosperous. Young and yielded. My challenge to everyone tonight is that you're going to make a choice tonight and say, Lord, let me confess, I love you, but I'm not sure. The way I'm pursuing my life, it obviously shows that you are not all. Be honest. You see, the Bible says, he who hides his sin. Hallelujah. I always tell God this. I say, Lord, I don't know if I trust myself. The more you lift me, the more I see how vulnerable I can be. And the more I will need to hold you. The Bible says, when you are young, you are allowed to move wherever you want to go. But when you become matured, a hand will have to hold you. Let me tell you something. Honor can be deceitful. This is the last one. Now who will rise up? I'm grateful. All right. Praise God. We have other sessions. Let's rise up on our feet. We are going to pray. I hope you got something tonight. In 2 to 3 minutes, I'd like us to open up our hearts. Please, we are going to pray. And you're not going to do this kind of silent prayer that you just say God understands. Let your ears hear what your mouth is saying. You're going to cry unto God. Say, Lord, I open up my heart to you. I want to make that commitment that you become Lord of my life, that you become Lord of all. I will speak about you boldly. Lift your voice and pray. There's nothing like secular here and then that of God here. Kick out those devilish songs from your phone. I'm telling you, there's nothing like I can attend a nice party. I won't allow anybody to do this. No. You are either choose. I said before you this day, blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life that you may live. Lift up your voice and pray. Say, Lord, I know my tendencies. Help me. Help me. In the face of challenges, in the face of prosperity, in the face of greatness, in the face of failure, my faith can dwindle. Your position can dwindle. But tonight, renew my strength. Lift up your voice and cry. Tonight, renew my passion. Tonight, renew my fire. In the place of prayer, in the place of character, in the place of humility. Tonight, I say it once again, I'm a real Christian. I'm a genuine Christian, born again, blood washed. I behave like Jesus Christ. My words are seasoned with salt. It ministers grace to the hearer. I'm yielded. I'm addicted. Lift your voice and pray. We're rounding up. Say, Lord, if that relationship will make me not to walk with you, I take it away. If that association is strengthening your position in my life, I break it tonight. I break it tonight. Lift your voice. Many of you need to break away from some associations. Lift your voice right now. Say, Lord, I wave those friends goodbye. It's painful, but they are going this night. I'm that serious. Lift your voice. Some videos you downloaded on YouTube will go from this night. Lift your voice. Say, Lord, I mean business with you. When I say I love you, I mean business with you. Take away anything that is not you in my life. I'm yielded. I'm yielded. Totally yielded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, tonight is just an exhortation. Please, we'll be doing a lot of things between today and tomorrow. And I want to plead with everyone to cooperate with us. Hallelujah. Now, before we leave tonight, I did a message titled The Evidence of Genuine Intimacy. Alright? And this is the message I want everybody to listen to between this night and tomorrow. Please, will you do it? Let's subject ourselves to this training. You can get it from the media. I believe you have it. The evidence. Please, everybody, get it on your phone. It's free. You're not buying anything. Hallelujah. I did an exposition on certain things that show, evidences that show that you have genuine intimacy. We need this message. It's a continuation. It's a summary of what I've done right now in them. I don't know, our media department, they are up there, and then the New Heritage Media Department. Please, as soon as we share the grace, everyone, make sure you have this on your phone. You can get it in your flash. Please listen to it this night. I will listen to it. When I was preparing for this, I knew that God had been putting that message. I listened to it at least 3 times. You will never listen to that message and become the same. Hallelujah. It will continue what God is doing in this night. Please, everybody, if you came here for this meeting, get the teaching. Listen to it again and again this night. And God will prepare us in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for tonight. We give you praise. Thank you for helping us to renew our commitments. Lord, take away from our lives everything that threatens your place. And we pray that you be lifted tonight. In the name of Jesus. Let us be truly yielded, not just in words. Let us be addicted. Let our love for you be contagious. Let everyone that comes around us know that we are born of God. Lord, I pray for those struggling to give you their all. I pray that grace be supplied to them tonight. For those who need to break away from associations, this night let grace be released. For those who need to break away from habits and anything that is not consistent with the ways of God. For those who need to drop certain things they have taken above God. My God, I pray that this night you will do a mighty work in the heart of everybody.
May we be truly yielded in the name of Jesus Christ. Celebrate Jesus Christ.